Hey again, thank you so much for that greeting. And now let me bring us together around the reading of God's Word. And today it's in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than it was for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. God is sending out his witnesses. Some of your translations, you see 70 there. Some of the manuscripts, about 50-50 of the manuscripts, some list them as 70, some list them as 72. But it was a larger number of evangelists that he sent out this time than prior when he had sent out the 12. But this is what we're talking about today, the church going into the world. And so your thought for today is, the Lord prepares his church to carry his name to the world. The Lord prepares his church to carry his name to the world. There's several things that I want you to see in this today. And I don't want you to just see this as something that happened 2,000 years ago when 70 or 72 individuals were sent out in pairs. 36 pairs or so were sent out to prepare the way of the Lord, in essence. I want you to see how this is speaking to our hearts and into the church today, and how we are to conduct the business of spreading the Word of God. And so one of the first lessons that we see in this comes almost immediately in this. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest." Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. A couple of things I want you to take note of here. The harvest is plentiful. We in the Reformed faith believe that God has gone ahead of his evangelism and has begun to prepare hearts, begun to make them soft and receptive to God's word. And so it encourages evangelism. Some people think that that takes away from the evangelistic zeal in churches like ours, but it does not. It gives us the momentum and the strength and the hope that God's word will not return empty. And so this is what I want you to take note of here. One of the things that I want you to take note of immediately is that God has prepared a harvest. It is out there. The harvest is plentiful. This harvest that he's talking about here are those souls that God is is calling into his kingdom. Those souls that are going to hear God's word, their hearts are going to be changed. They are going to be soft and pliable hearts, and they are going to have that word to come and rest upon them, and they are going to hear that message, and they are going to respond to it. And so that harvest has been prepared. What does Jesus say that he needs? He needs laborers who will go out there and present that word, present that truth. God is already out there working in the fields. God is already out there preparing this harvest. He's growing it up. What is the harvest? If you went back to that parable about the sheep, the sheaves and the tares, the harvest was the good plants that were being brought in. The tares were the weeds that were going to be separated from the harvest whenever that time came. And so the harvest are all of those that God is preparing to receive that word. And so that should energize us that they are out there. And God needs those laborers to go out there and to carry that word to them so that they can hear that. Then another thing that I want you to see here is that attitude of prayer. A lot of us cannot go out. A lot of us are not called to go out. But all of us can join together with those who are on the front lines of the growth of the church, the march of the church, as I like to call it, around the world, by joining together with them in prayer. There are a lot of praying folks within our church. We have a missions committee who has contact with the missionaries that we respond, that we support and that respond to us. We have also other missions out there that are in need of prayer and support. When you join together with those missionaries in prayer, you're joining together with them spiritually, and you are connecting the body of Christ in a very special way that I never want you to take for granted. Well, all I can do is pray. Never look at it in that regard. All I can do is prayer. Pray drives the church. Prayer drives the church. We think of evangelism as going and doing and handing out and preaching and teaching and sharing and all of these kinds of things. But evangelism is not as much doing as it is being. Let me repeat that. Evangelism is not as much doing as it is being. When people talk about the growth of the church, one of the first things that come into their minds is we need programs, we need stuff going on so that people will respond to it, something that will make the church attractive, something that will that people will see and know, man, that church has it going on and we want to be part of that. And that is good if you can do that. But that's not what's going to hold the church up. Because what happens is, you know, kind of like football teams, right? You get a coach that comes in and all of a sudden he's all world, and this team that was scrapping around in the bottom of the conference, now they're ruling the world until that coach leaves, and then what happens? That team goes back. And so a lot of programs in church are that same way, because we see it more outwardly than we care about it inwardly. And then once that person who has that vision moves on, for whatever reason, a lot of times that program, whatever it is, dies because nobody else caught the vision. What I mean by evangelism is not so much doing as it is being. As we touched on in our Sunday school class this morning, any outward reach by a church begins with a journey inwardly. It begins with hearts that are surrendered to the call of Christ. It begins by hearts that are surrendered to his call, in tune with his will, enamored by his love, and filled with his grace. And when you get hearts like that, that are in the church, then what spills out of those hearts is evangelism. Because people see that that person is genuine. People see that that person is walking in truth. People see that that person is not just a facade. But people see that that person is genuinely in love with Christ. That they genuinely stand for truth. That they genuinely walk the talk. They just don't talk, but they walk. And that's what appeals to people. That's what appeals to people. We can have programs, but who is the church? Anybody? We are. We are the church. God calls His church to be His images. God calls His church to go out and help Him be laborers in the harvest. The harvest that He's already prepared. We just need to be participants in that harvest. To go out into that labor force. And that starts with hearts who are surrendered, in line, and are focused, and are in step with what God is doing. And that takes hearts that are surrendered to Him. And so a lot of evangelism, as I said, is not just the doing part, it's the being part. Being in love with God. Being in step with God. Being covered by His grace. Being surrendered to His leadership. Being strengthened by His Spirit. And when we do that, evangelism will flow from us. We encourage each other when we're like that. He sent them out two by two. Why? So they could be encouraged. So that they would be strengthened by each other. When you come into this body every Sunday morning, you are saying to those around you that I believe this time is important. You are not taking it for granted. You are saying, I believe the sacrifice that I made coming here this day is important enough that everything else I could be doing today is laid aside. And you're making a testament of faith to those around you when your presence is here. And that's what church attendance is all about. That's the importance of gathering together as a body, is encouraging each other. That's the importance of gathering together as a body, because then we speak into each other's hearts the desires that we have, the encouragements that we have, the life that we have, so that others can know that they're not alone in their struggles. Others can know that they're not alone in their joys, so that we can pick each other up. Your presence here is a testament of faith. And a testament to your desire and your understanding of the importance of gathering together. And that's what you speak into the hearts of others. The next thing I want you to see this day is that God's messengers are dependent upon His provision. What did He say? I want you to go out. Don't carry a bunch of stuff with you. Travel light. You go into a town. I've already prepared those who's going to receive you. So you go into a place. If they receive you, you give them your peace. And grant them the peace of God. If they do not receive you, then your peace will come back to you and you shake the dust off of that town. What that meant was is that they're saying, I have presented to you the kingdom of God and I've done my due diligence in presenting that kingdom to you. Since you have rejected it, I'm now separating myself from you, and I'm saying, in essence, I wash my hands of it. I presented it to you. I've done what God would have me to do. And so your decision now and the results and the consequences of your decision now rest upon you. But Jesus is letting them know that there are going to be those who will receive them. And they have been prepared. In my heart, I think the Spirit was already out there working, preparing those individuals. And He's encouraging His disciples who go out, His followers who go out, these 70 or 72, to wherever you go to eat what is before you. Whatever is set before you by those that I have prepared, you eat and you be sustained by that. That was probably speaking to the cultural laws, the cleanliness laws that the Jews had. You're going out into Gentile territory. If a Gentile home takes you in because I've prepare that home, and whatever they set before you, you eat, and you take it in as a provision of God. But it's also letting us know this day, this time now to the church, is to trust God for His provision, to trust Him that He has gone before us to prepare the grounds, to prepare the fields as we go out and share Him with the world, as we go out and carry His name to the world, that there are those who will receive us, that God will move in His world to prepare those hearts who will receive His message. And so we are encouraged by that. It's also letting us know, because He also told them not to move around. I think in my heart, I think there's a couple of different reasons there. You go into a town and someone receives you in, and so you begin to work in that town as God has gifted you to work, Jesus is saying. Now, if you go around and you start shopping around for a better deal, what is that going to do to that household that had welcomed you into the beginning? Are they going to be discouraged now? Are they going to be jealous over the other household that you go to, thinking that perhaps they were inadequate for you, that they didn't measure up to your standards? So I think there was that danger there, because what we're doing is we're projecting an image of Christ when we go out into the world. And we need to be aware of how we interact with each other. We need to be aware of how we project that image of Christ. And I think that is what He wanted His followers to be aware of. They don't shop around in this town for better lodgings, for better food. Be satisfied with where God has placed you. In other words, begin to bloom where you are planted. Begin to work for the kingdom where God has placed you. And that is encouragement today for the church, that wherever God has placed you, there's work that you can do for the kingdom. Yes, it's glorious to go out into fields and have books written about you and to bring a whole nation to Christ, or the majority of a nation to Christ, or translate books into different languages, or put your life on the line trying to smuggle Bibles into places where they don't allow Bibles. Well, that seems glorious and grand work. But what about your neighbor that sits beside you at lunch in the break room that doesn't know Christ? What about the hurting individual in your own church that you have a connection to, that you can make a difference in that life by letting them know that they're not alone? What about those people that you run into randomly that you can give an act of kindness to as you are able? What about all of those that God cares about just as much as that Muslim, as that individual in Africa or Europe or Russia or China or wherever that our missions are out actively working now? What about your own homes? What about your children, your spouse, your grandmothers, your grandfathers? What about those individuals where you can be salt and light in their lives just as much and just as importantly as the missionaries are out in the fields? And that is what we need to be mindful of as a church, because we're called to be salt. Any of you who've ever applied salt as a, I can't think of the word right now, some of you cooks know what it is, but when you put salt on something and you, like you do your turkey sometimes, you put your seasoning on it and you set it aside for a moment before you cook it. And so that you have to give that seasoning time to get down into the tissues of that meat and do what seasoning does. And I think that's what Jesus wanted His followers to understand then, and what He wants His church to understand now, that it takes time for salt to work, and you have to saturate into the community. And so you have to be persistent and consistent in your life for Him, in your walk for Him, in your witness for Him, if you are going to be salt and light. And so it takes time for that salt and light to filter out and to do its work. But the good thing is that God has promised a harvest. The good thing is that God has already prepared that harvest. And the good thing is that God is giving to us all that we need, the provision that we need to be laborers in that harvest field. He just needs for laborers to stand up and say, I will take a stand for him. He just needs laborers to stay up, to stand up and say, I love the Lord enough that I'm going to be his hands and feet to this family that's hurting. I'm going to be his hands and feet to this individual that's hurting. I'm going to be his hands and feet to someone who just needs to be hugged right now. Or just needs to have someone sitting in their presence so they will know that they're not alone. And that is evangelism. It may not be the glorious evangelism that books are written about, but it's evangelism that builds the kingdom of God. And so as his followers went out and they were to remain in those homes that were receptive to them, those towns that were receptive to them, there was a work to do. And so we are to be that kind of salt and light where God has placed us. Understanding, as I said, that harvest has been prepared. But I think, too, another message in this particular section of this passage is that not all will be receptive to God's word. Not all will be receptive to him. And he wanted his followers to understand that. And he wants his church to understand that as well. That's what he meant, like, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet in a symbolic act of saying, I've delivered God's truth. The kingdom of God has come near you. How you receive it, what you do with it from now on is up to you. I've done my part. But he wants us to know, as I said earlier, that his word does not come back empty. Because delivering the message satisfies God's purpose, either by softening hearts or continuing to harden them. God's message continues to harden hearts by them continuing to resist that message. And so that satisfies God's purpose just as well as those hearts that will be softened. In other words, become more receptive, more understanding of God's word, of that life of the church that has been presented to them by your presence in their life. No matter where that is, sitting beside them in the lunchroom, sitting beside them in a boat fishing, sitting beside them at a ball game, being in their home in times of tragedy, being in their homes in times of joy. Wherever you go in contact with those outside of the church, you are presenting the kingdom to them by who you are. And know and understand that God has given us the promise that Jesus says in John 6, all that the Father gives me will come to me. So that should be assurance and encouragement for us that the harvest is prepared and he just needs the church to go out and take that active part in being laborers in that harvest. And then some very somber words in the last part of this passage over the seriousness of rejecting the gospel. The seriousness of rejecting the gospel. It lets the church know, lets you and me know about how serious we are to take delivering God's truth. It is not something that is just passed off as a passing fancy, as the expression goes. But the seriousness of what God is doing in the world and the seriousness of how that word can change lives and hearts and how God wants those changed lives and hearts now as part of his harvest that he has prepared. It also lets us know that the mission field isn't just always out there. The mission field's right here. Let me repeat that. The mission field isn't always out there. The mission field is right here. These towns that he cursed, mainly Jewish towns, They had had and heard of the Messiah since days long gone. And Jesus is saying, the great acts that I did there, if those same great acts were done, he didn't mention what they were, but those same great acts, if I had done those in those Gentile towns, it would have brought them to repentance. So in essence, what he's saying here, these Jewish towns were inoculated enough so that they could be resistant to what they were seeing in Jesus, because he didn't live up to what they were expecting him to be, and they didn't understand him and receive him as who he was. One of the hardest mission fields in the world is the Bible Belt. One of the hardest mission fields in the world is the Bible Belt, made up of people just like you and me who have heard Sunday school stories, Bible stories all of their life, and they think that's enough. They don't know that God wants us to take and drink more deeply from His fountain of life and be changed from the inside out. As vaccines give us just enough of the bug to give us immunity to it, barring these new ones that they've come out with, we can be inoculated against the truth of God, the truth of Christ, and we can become so complacent in what we think we know that we fail to take in what God needs us to know about Him, so that we can grow, so that we can be evangelists. And so there's a warning here, the seriousness of rejecting the gospel, but also a warning here and an encouragement that we don't have to go outside of these doors to find a mission field. That a mission field can sit on pews. Don't be resistant to the truth. Let your heart be softened by God's word, so that when that truth is presented to you, you take it in and you receive it in its fullness, and you allow it to take root within your heart, and you become so enamored with God and Christ that you just have to share Him with the world. You don't have to be a great speaker. But how many times have you sat down and talked with somebody just sitting on a 5-gallon bucket under a shade tree one day, and y'all just talking about life? There's an opportunity. How many times have you gone to someone's house, as I like to call it, over a cup of coffee and pound cake? There's an opportunity. And you don't have to bring the Bible out and expound theological concepts. This is who Christ is to me. This is what He's done in my life. This is why I love Him so. But start with, I love you. And my presence here with you this day, I want you to see that as my expression of love towards you. And guys, that doesn't mean any mishy, mushy stuff. It means that I'm looking out for your best interest. That's what loving your neighbor is all about. I'm looking out for your best interest. That I care about you enough, that I care about the direction your life is taking. That I care about you enough that I want you to know this thing. But mainly that I care about you. And I'm here. That's the start of evangelism. Don't let it get lost on this church. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day just thanking you for the privilege that is ours to share your word with others. You have prepared the harvest, Father. We heard these words today in your word. The harvest is prepared. You just need laborers to go out. May we be willing laborers. And may we not get so caught up in missions and zeal and missionaries that we fail to realize the harvest that is all around us this day. that we don't need to leave this country or even our homes in some cases. The harvest is here. Father, make it visible to us. May it gleam before us. And may we be surrendered laborers in that harvest through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.